What we left off with last time, now we're getting to the sixth parak, was that Shlomo was having, Baruch Hashem, no issues with any of the surrounding kingdoms. And that was part of the bracha that he had. In fact, people would come from all over to seek out the wisdom of Shlomo. And as such, Shlomo told Hiram, when he asked what he could do and how he could help his friend, David's son, in terms of his new rule, Shlomo said, it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. My father was unable to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now it is time for me to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where Perek Vav picks off. So again, we mentioned at the end of Perek Hey that he asked Hiram if he could send a wood from the Arzeh HaLevanon, from the cedars of Lebanon. And that wood would be what's used for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And they made a deal. And that arrangement was taken care of. Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, picks up with the more details of the construction. It's very interesting how the Navi describes the date of the beginning of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the 480th year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why are they going back all the way to Yitzias Mitzrayim? And what that seems to indicate, the Mefarshim explain, is that the culmination of Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't just about taking the Jews out of servitude. Again, it certainly was partially about that and making sure they weren't slaves anymore, but it was much more about their new spiritual destiny. And that spiritual destiny culminated with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And presumably that's part of the connections that we have between the Seder and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, besides the fact that obviously the main part of Pesach, or the Korban Pesach, we don't have without the Beis HaMikdash, but there's a connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Beis HaMikdash being that culmination is a very, very close one, which again is indicated here in the Pesukim as well. It was 480 years from the time that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. It was the fourth year of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, and it was in the month of Ziv. What is the month of Ziv? So first, the month of Ziv is the month of Iyar. The month of Iyar. So it was right after Pesach, and right, Huachodesh HaShini Lo Shlomo Yisrael V'Yir Nabayis L'Hashem. So it was in the second month, right? And Shlomo was the king over the Jews. It's the fourth year of his reign. And he decides that now is the time to build a bayis for Hashem, to build a house for Hashem. Bayis Hashem, but now it's going to go through a lot of the details of the bayis. Some of them obviously have more significance than other ones. But again, the Navi goes through all of those details, probably and partially in order to make sure that we understand how special this building was. And as we'll see, it's much larger than the Mishkan, right? The Mishkan was portable. It had to be set up in a certain way. And this building is going to be much, much larger. So what does the Navi tell us in Pasuk Beis? V'abayis asher bono hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem. The house which Shlomo built for Hashem. Shishim ama arko ve'esrim rachbo u'shloshim ama komaso. It was 60 amos in its length, 20 in its width, and 30 in its height. So it was a fairly significantly sized building. And those were the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ha'ulam al p'nei heichal abayis esrim amo arko al p'nei rochav abayis eser b'amo rachbo al p'nei abayis. And the ulam. So again, it probably would have been helpful if I had a picture here, but I didn't quite think about that in advance. Well, you know what? Maybe I can do this. Give me a second. I actually don't know how to do this. Oh, here we go. Okay, never mind. I thought I knew how to draw on the screen. but apparently I don't. Okay, so the way that the Beis HaMikdash runs was you had the general chatzar, the general azara, the larger part of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you have a long part, which is what's called the Heichal. In the Heichal is where many of the, it's also sometimes called the Kodesh, that's where many of the, you know, important items for the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the golden Mizbeach for the Ketoros were found in there. And then at the end of the, at the western end of the Heichal was where you had the Kodesh HaKadosh and where the Arbon was. On the other side of this line, going in the opposite direction, perpendicular to it, creating almost like a T, was a room called the Ulam. That's what we're talking about here. The Ulam al Pnei Heichal Bayis. It was on the Heichal of the Bayis, again, creating like almost this T with a preparation area. It was long and narrow. Esrim Amarko, it was 20 amos long, al Pnei Rochav Bayis, going along the width of the Beis HaMikdash. Esther Bamarachlo, but it was only 10 amos in its width, al Pnei Bayis, going according to the other dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayas la Bayis, Chalonei Shkufim Atumim. And they made for the Beis HaMikdash narrowing windows. What does that mean that they were narrowing windows? Usually, when you have a window, the window is going, again, especially in those days, our windows are perfectly square. But if you know, think of like the old city of Yerushalayim, so often what they would have is a slit in the wall, and then as it goes into the house, the opening becomes wider so that more light comes in. And the light can come in through a narrow space, but then it expands outward, expands into the room. And the walls, the windows of the Beis HaMikdash were built the opposite way. They were narrower inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then they opened up wider. Why is that? So Rashi tells us in the Gemara in Maseches Menachos that the message was very clear, is that the Beis HaMikdash does not need the light from outside. The Beis HaMikdash is the light of the world, and therefore the radiance of the Beis HaMikdash is going out. That's the Kedusha which is going out. The Beis HaMikdash does not need the light that's coming in. And therefore, even though it would expand the light physically if the windows were designed narrower on the outside and wider on the inside, that was not what we needed in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayiven al kir habayis yatzia saviv. Against the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, there was an annex that was all around it. Eskiros habayis saviv la heichal v'la devir. And they would surround the walls on the Heichal, which again was next to the Ulam. The Devir is the another word for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vayas Tzilaos Saviv. And they made Tzilaos all around. What are these Tzilaos? What is the, what's the Navi referring to here? They were different chambers. They were different rooms that throughout the Beis HaMikdash built into the walls, using the walls of the Beis HaMikdash as the walls, they built different chambers, not for anybody's personal use, but chambers that were needed for different storage or preparations for the avodos, for the various things that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Vav, Hayatziya HaTachtona, the lowest story, Chamesh Ba'amar Rachba, Vatichona Shesh Ba'amar Rachba, Vashlishis Sheva Ba'amar Rachba, Ki Migraos Nasal Nabayis Soiv Chutzel, Votiyachos Bekiros Habayis. So what the Navi is trying to explain here is how this was built into the walls. That there were three floors of these chambers or this annex that was on it. The lowest one was 5 amos wide, the middle one was 6, and the highest was 7. And this also deviates from normal construction. In normal construction, you would have the wider base at the bottom, and then when you build up, you would either build the same or you would go in a little bit, but you certainly wouldn't, again, in modern construction, you see this now, but again, they're not using different steel and other engineering secrets. But again, in those times, this was certainly a big chiddush that it's going to be built in such a way that the walls are going to become longer and wider as you go up and not being supported by the bottom one. And again, to show that the way that the Beis HaMikdash was standing was because of the way Hashem was supporting it, not because of its physical structure. Pasuk Zion. V'habayis b'hibana so Eben Shlema Masan Ivna U'makavos v'agarzen kokli barzel lo nishma b'habayis b'hibana so. This is a very important pasuk, right? The base of Mikdash was built of whole quarried stones. And the reason that this is important is because there's a halacha in the Torah, there's a pasuk which says that you're not allowed to, especially for the Mizbeach, it's true, but Shlomo did it for the entire base of Mikdash, was that the Mizbeach is not allowed to come from a stone that was cut by something that was metal. Metal is something which exists in the world often to cut people's lives short. And therefore, the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, which are there to prolong life, it's inappropriate that one should beat out the other, as it were, to cut those stones. And therefore, stones were cut in a miraculous way. How were they cut? So Chazal tell us that they were removed by the mountain by this Shamir worm. There was a certain worm that had the koach, that had the ability of penetrating these stones. And the stones were then transported through Shalim and set into the structure. They were not chiseled at all. No chisel, no metal tools were used. And therefore, the only noise that was heard, the only kokli barzel, the sound of the normal construction sounds, was not what was heard during the construction. The only time that they would actually hear any noise was when a stone would be placed in its spot. But normally, all of that noise, which comes from all the other things going on, did not exist in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Ches. Pesach HaTzela HaTichonoi El Kesef HaBayis HaYimanis. The entrance to the central ground level cell was at the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. Ublulim Ya'alu Al HaTichonoi Min HaTochonoi El HaShlishim. And then there would be a way of ascending through the stairs to the second level of these chambers and then to the third. Vayiven Es HaBayis VayichAlayu. He built the Beis HaMikdash and he completed it. And he made the Beis HaMikdash ceiling of some sort of wooden panels and cedar planks. Again, I think what it's highlighting is that he was trying to make it as beautiful as possible. It was going to be a very special, a beautiful building, and therefore even the way that the roof was going to be constructed had to be in a way that wasn't just functional, it wasn't just about having a covering, but it was having an appropriate and beautiful covering for the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud. Vayiven es hayatziyah al kol habayis chamish amos kamasov vayachoz es habayis ba'atzei arazim. Right, this annex that was built, these chambers were along the entire Mikdash were 5 amos of height, and he covered that with cedar wood as well. Okay. Continues the Navi to describe the construction. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayhi dvar Hashem al Shlomo lemor. So God, first of all, intervenes right here, and he tells Shlomo the following. Habayis hazeh asher ato abonah. This house that you're building, which he wants to be built. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. This is almost, as it were, a dream come true, right? This is what the ultimate, this is what the plan was. Im telech b'chukos ha'avis mishpatai ta'asu, b'shomer tos kol mitzvos ha'lechasim, if you keep the mitzvos, v'akimosiyas divari itach asher dibarti al David avicha, then I will preserve my promise to David your father, that this is going to be the place where my Shechina is going to dwell, where God's presence is going to be felt most acutely in this world. And v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and I will bring my presence down amongst the Jewish people, v'lo e'azov es ami Yisrael, and I will not abandon, the Jewish people. The Navi now goes back again to more details of the construction. Vayiven Shlomo sabayis vayichalayu. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and he completed it. What does that mean? He completed it? We're about to have a whole discussion. So again, it doesn't sound like he completed the entire thing. It means he completed the last step that we were talking about. Right? The outside structure and the roof. So the bayis was complete, but it wasn't functional as a Beis HaMikdash. There are a lot of details inside. Even as kiros habayis mi bayis betzalos arazim, mi karka habayis a kiros ha-sipun, sipo'es mi eitz mi bayis, vayitzaf es karka habayis betzalos Biroshim. So he built the walls of the bayis. He used cedar boards, which would go from the floor of the Mikdash all the way to the ceiling beams that he overlaid with the wood inside, and then put cypress on top of that. It seems to me that this was a combination, the Mefarshim explained, of trying to find durable materials and also beautiful materials, right? He wanted both to be true. He wanted the bayis to be one. Not that the bayis could never be destroyed. The Beis Hamikdash could never be destroyed unless God willed it. But at the same point, it doesn't look nice to have a flimsy bayis. So he was trying to build it in such a way that in this world it would be appreciated as an incredible structure as well. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Va'even es asrim ha'ma miyarkasei ha'bayis betzalos ha'arazim min ha'karak ha'arikiros. Va'even lo mibayis l'divir l'kodesh ha'kodeshim. Okay. Similar to what we just said before, and there was an overlay for the 20 amos at the backside of the Beis HaMikdash with cedar boards from the floor to the beams, and he prepared the inside area, which is going to be the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There was a 40 amma long heichal, which was in front of the, which is the almost the antechamber to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The erez el abayis penima mikalas pikaim ufturei tzitzim hakol erez ein even nira. There was cedar which came on the inside, was decorated with different designs of knobs and flowers. Everything was covered with wood, and there was no visible stone. What is the significance of the fact that there was no visible stone? Seems to be that there was a question of beauty. That was a question of beauty, that it would look nicer if these stones were not real. I guess there's different types of stone. There's decorative stone, and then there's, you know, like the stone which is strong and supports the construction. That was what he made sure that it was going to, again, ein even yireh, that there was going to these beautiful coverings on top of the main structure. And the devir, which was inside the innermost part of the Mikdash, again, the devir being the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he prepared it in order that it was going to be able to house the Aron HaBris, the Aron which was called the Aron HaBris. Why was it called the Aron HaBris? Because it contained the Luchos, which really were the covenant, the special relationship, or evidence of the special relationship that exists between the Jewish people and Hashem. And in front of the devir, there was an area of 20 by 20 by 20. And it was covered with fine gold, and Vaitzaf Mizbeach Ares, and the Mizbeach was overlaid with cedar wood. Now, it's a little difficult to understand here. Why is it, right here we say that the wood was covered by Sirma Mokom Maso, 20 amos of its height. But we said before that the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amos tall. So what happens for the extra 10 amos? So the Mefarshim debate the issue. Some suggest that the Kruvim, which we'll talk about in a moment, went up 10 Amos. So those 10 Amos were excluded. It was only the 20 Amos that were above it. And others say the opposite. The others say that it started from the bottom and it went up 20. The top 10 he did with something else. I guess it was less visible. We do have a concept of, like by Hanukkah, we say that if you put the candles above 20 Amos, you know, people's eyes don't really go there. And you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So maybe the same concept is true here as well. Vayitzav Shlomo, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, es habayis mipnima zahav sagur. He covered over the entire inside of the bayis with gold. Vayi'aber beratukos zahav lifnei adavir vayitzapeyo zahav. And he drew golden chains in front of the partition and he overlaid them with gold. Veskol habayis tzipo zahav atom kabayis. The entire structure was covered in gold. So the entire area of the Heicha was completely covered in some sort of gold, again creating this really beautiful one of a kind structure. And he made in the Devir, right inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, two kruvim out of Atzei Shemen. What are Atzei Shemen? Right, what's oil wood? Oil wood is, where does the oil come from? Olive. So it refers to olive wood. He made it out of, again, according to most, it refers to olive wood. And these are the kruvim that he made. Now, these kruvim do not seem to be the same kruvim. The kruvim that are described in the chumash are made out of gold and are part of the kaporas, part of the covering which was on top of the armor. These are much larger. They're 10 amos tall. These are maybe 15 or so feet tall. So the first thing we explain that the Shlomo added these two kruvim, different from the ones of Moshe. And these were the ones that were made of wood and overlaid with gold, and that were very, very tall and stood on the floor. Shlomo did not add. There are several things that Shlomo added to the Mishkan, but all these things the Mefarshim all explain were not things that he innovated on his own, but they were things that he put in as a result of some sort of nevuah. There was some sort of divine inspiration, and he did it in that way. How were they designed? Pasuk Chavdal, v'chamesh amos knafa kruva achas, v'chamesh amos knafa kruva shenis. The wings were 5 amos each. Eser amos v'ktos knafav v'ad ktos knafav. From one tip of one wing to the other tip of the other ring of the other kruv, it was 10 amos. V'eser v'ama kruva shenim mido achas v'ketze v'cha l'shnei kruvim. And the other kruv was also 10 amos. One size and one form for the tomb, they looked exactly the same. They were identical. Each one was 10 amos tall. So they had a wingspan of 10 amos and 10 amos tall as well. He put these kruvim inside the inner part of the bayis. And they spread out the wings. And it touched all the way to the wall. And the other wing of the other kruv hit the other wall. And they pointed towards the inner part of the bayis. No goes kanaf al kanaf, touching each other. Vayitzaf es akruvim zahav, and he covered them in gold. Why is there such attention paid to the kruvim? And just in general, it's very hard to understand what the kruvim are all about. So Chazal explained that the kruvim really reflected the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, and that at times when Bnei Yisrael were in a good place with Hashem, so then they would uncover, they would open up the parochas when the Bnei Yisrael would come for Aliyah LeRegel, and they would see that the kruvim were wrapped up hugging each other. And at times that they weren't, that the Bnei Yisrael were not in the best of places with Hashem in terms of their relationship, in terms of how they were acting, so they would be turned back to back. So there was something, and that's part of what Shlomo was focusing on, was that this relationship between the Jewish people and between Hashem is something really of beauty. Something of beauty, and therefore he seemed to have spent a lot of extra time trying to beautify and to make these kruvim as special as possible. Pasuk Chaf Ches, Beis Kol Kirotz Abayis Mesav Kala Pituchen Miklos Kruvim Simros of Tirei Tzitzim Milifnim. Now it gets to more details of the walls and the floor. Right, all of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash were surrounded by different designs engraved with different figurines of the kruvim and trees and flowers. Again, just to make it as beautiful as possible. As karka bayis tipazav, the floor was covered in gold. Lifnima v'lachitzon, and the inside part of the chamber and the outside. Ves pesach adivir asod al sos atzei shaman. There were olive wood doors made by the opening of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ha'ayom zizos chamishis.
He made doors, by the door frame, I'm sorry, the door frame was five-sided. What does it mean that it was five-sided, right? Usually, you would think when you make a door frame that it is rectangular. But each one had, it was like a pointed archway of sorts, so that at the top, there was an extra point giving it almost like the shape of a pentagon. Why? Again, I'm guessing that it was just to beautify it a little bit extra. And then he made doors as well out of olive wood. And he engraved, again, different beautiful images. And he put gold on top of them. And he did the same thing for the entranceway to the Heichal. He made doorposts of olive wood. And those were four-sided, I guess, to show that it was unique. The one going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim had a special form of the five-sided. He made two doors out of cypress wood. And the two rounded hinges for the one door and two rounded hinges for the second door. I guess the rounded hinges allowed for it to be able to open properly. Right, he engraved on the doors, again, the same theme, right? These beautiful images of the Kruvim and then trees and blossoming flowers with gold. And he flattened over it. He built the inner chatzer, shlosha turei gazis, v'tor krusos arazim. He used three rows of fine stones and one of cedar wood. With all of this, bashana haravis, in the fourth year, yusad beis Hashem v'yerach ziv. They got the foundation of the bayis built in the fourth year. Ubashana hachasesrei, in the 11th year, beyerach bul, in the month of bul. What's the month of bul? Cheshvan, what we're in right now. Why is it called bul? Because the ma bul came in the month of Cheshvan. Huachurash hashmini, kala bayis, zechol derav, uchol mishpatov, vayivneu shevashnim. 7 years, it was a large construction project. As much as he was having probably a lot of siyata d'shmai and help from Hashem when he was building it. In the end, construction takes a long time. And even Shlomo Melech, with all the money and everything else, building nonstop, he was able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but it did take 7 years. We will learn more about it as we go forward.